Hello, everybody, and welcome to another Spiritual Hollywood Hour. I am your host, Kate Romero, and I'd like to thank Don Newsome and Seth over there at BBS Radio for being such a wonderful platform for our show, Spiritual Hollywood, to raise consciousness using Hollywood. I have a real treat for you tonight. We have Bob Fraser, who is a multi-hyphenate and the creator of You Must Act, the acting career course, Headshot Secrets, which is Headshot Secrets Revealed, an acting career course, which is very, very important because it's your calling card, and also the creator of Nail It, Delivering the Hypnotic Audition. So we'll be exploring with Bob what exactly is a hypnotic audition and what isn't a hypnotic audition, which would be good to have the contrasting answers there. And Headshot Secrets Revealed, very, very important because as a talent manager, I can tell you firsthand when I get headshots in the mail that don't say essence of whoever that person is, they go in the round file. And also if there isn't a cover letter, there has to be a cover letter, one that's very specifically written to me. And somebody who knows something about the company. And the other one is You Must Act, an acting career course, which is all about the showbiz brain and the lost acting books and workbooks. So, I'm going to give you a little bit of background about Bob, who, as I said, is a multi-hyphenate, which this is the first time I've heard that term, but it might also describe a lot of other people that we all know. Actor, writer, director, producer, renowned showbiz advisor, and virtual mentor. There it is. In a long history of network television, only a handful of people have been multi-hyphenates, writing, directing, producing, and playing a role in the same series, and Bob has done it twice. First with the hit television series Benson, where he was the writer, director, and showrunner and played Benson's political nemesis, Senator Leonard Tyler, for 6 seasons, then again in a show he created and starred in for NBC called Marblehead Manor, co-starring Michael Richards. Starting as an actor more than 5 decades ago, you wouldn't know it to look at him, Bob has scores of credits in theater, film, and television, including the role of Snoopy in the original off-Broadway hit You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown, as Michael in the New York premiere of Lady Chatterley's Lover, and as Big Jack in the March March. He was one of the founders of the Fourth Wall in New York City and was an early member of the Groundlings in L.A. He's also been a magician, a television host, a disc jockey, and a commercial writer, director, and producer. Bob was also the writer and producer, or showrunner, on many classic TV series, including The Love Boat, Full House, Benson, Condo, Harry and the Hendersons, Hard Knocks, and Wipeout, as well as many, many others. As a director, he has guided Oscar, Emmy, and Tony-winning actors in both theater and television and has hired hundreds of actors. You actors out there, listen up. You're about to have firsthand knowledge from somebody who's got a great deal of experience that you would like to have for yourself to get your careers going. He's hired hundreds of actors in his role as a TV and theatrical producer. With his wife, Bev Wiest, Bob has also owned and operated 5 legitimate theaters. His trilogy of acting career courses on your computer, You Must Act, Nail It, and Headshot Secrets Revealed, have been utilized by thousands of actors, performers, and models in dozens of countries all over the world. I think Bob was telling me at coffee the other day that there are 82 countries who are buying his product and benefiting greatly from it, and that's not surprising. So without further ado, I'd like to bring on Bob Fraser. Hey, Bob, thanks for joining us tonight.
Hi, Kate. It's a pleasure to be with you today.
Yeah, wonderful. So, my goodness, what a background you have.
Well, you know, it's a history.
It's a definite history, yes, and a multi-hyphenate. How did you come up with that term?
Actually, somebody else came up with it, not me. I'm trying to remember who it was. I think it was the director, John Rich. Who said, you know what your problem is that you're a multi-hyphenate.
Yeah, you do everything and do everything well.
Well, I don't know if I do everything well. As I mentioned to you at coffee the other day, I'm not such a great actor.
Well, you sure did do a lot of work to not have been such a great actor.
Well, as I point out to actors all the time, it isn't always about talent and looks. And it's about business.
The showbiz.
I'm a good business person.
Yes, you are. And one thing I'd like to bring to your attention that maybe you didn't think of and maybe you did, but I'm going to just bring that out, is in my opinion, when a person says they, who is, you know, has been an actor, that they weren't such a great actor, and they've produced, written, and directed, I would like to counter what you said by saying that you are such a great actor that in order to play all of the acting parts, you became a writer, producer, and director. So
well,
how do you like them apples?
That's very nice of you to say. Thank
yeah,
you.
So there's definitely something to that. So what I'd like to do is start out asking you about, you know, being that I'm co-creator of quantum hypnotherapy, as I mentioned to you, the hypnotic audition, that really piqued my interest, because what, as a manager and having been an actor and an agent in my time as a multi-hyphenate, I have seen many, many performances, and I know I can tell you the ones that really stood out in my mind, and I could tell you the ones that I really felt bad for the person because they weren't prepared, they weren't in the moment, they didn't like themselves very much, and we were discussing how it's so incredibly important for a person to like themselves in order to deliver a decent performance, and even a decent one, let alone a brilliant one, and also to produce a great headshot, and also to be a great showbiz person. You have to really like yourself enough to allow success to come to you. Do you believe in that too?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I'm you know, one of the I would say close to 100 pages in You Must Act, talking about you know, getting to a point where you feel confident and accepting of who you are. Because that really is the secret behind most successful acting careers, and certainly, you know, most successful show business careers, performers and writers and directors and whatnot. You know, that level of confidence really does come from accepting yourself.
Yes.
And I think a lot of people make the mistake when they start out because, well, frankly, they aren't educated. It's not so much that people aren't capable.
Right.
It's just that no one has told them along the way.
Right.
But many people start out thinking that they have to be somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the biggest mistake you can make, frankly.
Yes, and you and I were discussing how, you know, what my philosophy is that whatever it is that we think is the weirdest thing about us,
mm-hmm.
that we try our best to hide as much as we can from
right.
anyone else, and we're embarrassed of that weird thing
yeah.
about us,
mm-hmm.
that's our gift, and it's that we must market and sell.
Right. Oh, absolutely. And, you know, it's so easy to see when you stop for a moment and take an objective viewpoint about certain movie stars, for instance. I always try to point out to people that, for instance, Tom Cruise is
mm-hmm.
probably the best example of someone that everybody thinks is attractive, but in reality, he's, you know, he's about 5'7", 5'8".
Mm-hmm.
He's got a fairly big nose.
Mm-hmm.
His, you know, he's not an Adonis.
Right.
He's simply a regular person who has put himself in that position.
Mm-hmm.
And really, our response to that is an emotional response. In other words, because he is where he is, we feel he's attractive.
Mm-hmm.
And he feels attractive, which is how he exudes that. Do you know what I mean? He doesn't
mm-hmm.
he doesn't spend his time thinking about, oh, my nose is too big.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Right.
He exudes the confidence of someone who's attractive on the inside.
Yes.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Who knows that his purpose is so strong that when he comes into contact with people, it energizes them. And that results in a feeling that we have about how somebody looks.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, if you really look at movie stars over the ages, there haven't been too many really great-looking people,
mm-hmm.
you know, just perfect-looking.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly it's about, you know, what you think about, what you feel, how you present yourself to other people.
Yes, exactly.
And that all comes from how you feel about yourself.
Yeah, and you can tell in Tom Cruise's smile, because it's $1 million smile, it's
you
a billion-dollar smile, how he feels about himself.
Exactly. And if you just, I mean, you can literally name off the big, big stars from any era,
mm-hmm.
and you'll see. When you look at it right now, probably the best looking male star in Hollywood is George Clooney.
Mm-hmm.
Just from an objective point of view.
Yes. I won't argue.
Very few people will.
Yeah, lots of charisma.
One of the things I like to point out to actors, though, is that George Clooney had like a dozen failed pilots.
Mm.
He was the king of not getting on the air.
Mm.
And literally spent, I think, close to a decade unknown.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, inside Hollywood, people knew who he was, and he was making the rounds, and he would get cast, and he would get in a show. Mm-hmm. But literally, he had no success for almost a decade.
Mm-hmm.
And another person I like to point to is Brad Pitt. Mm-hmm. Brad Pitt spent 5 years doing extra work.
Wow.
And the people at Central didn't like him very much,
mm.
you know, because he was good looking.
Right.
But he spent 5 years doing extra work and, you know, pounding the pavement and sending out his pictures and resumes and doing the things that all actors do.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing I like to point out to actors is he looked like Brad Pitt the entire time.
Yes, he did. Good point. Good point. Yes. And you don't have to look like Brad Pitt to make it.
No.
Look like yourself.
Look like Steve Buscemi.
Yeah, Steve Buscemi's fantastic.
I mean, he knocks it out of the park. I mean,
every time.
And his career is, and he started late, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He was not a theater student. He didn't go to university for, you know, and study filmmaking. He was a fireman.
Really, a fireman?
Yeah.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah, he was a fireman in New York City. In fact, on September 11th, he got his stuff together and went down and worked at the site.
Oh, that's such wonderful information. Thank you for sharing that, Bob.
Yeah, he's a great man. And,
wow. Well, he's got this quirky lovability about him that even if he wasn't an experienced actor, if he can nail the script and give a believable performance, I would hire him.
Oh, well, see, the thing is that all of these people that we're talking about, you know, what they do is they bring themselves into the room.
Mm-hmm.
They don't leave themselves outside,
mm-hmm.
you know, which unfortunately is a very common mistake in the beginning of a lot of careers. People don't trust who they are, who they are.
Yes, and there is the
rub.
Their
essence,
right there.
As you say.
Yes. Yes, and to have a solid sense of self not only gives you the charisma that will get you noticed,
mm-hmm.
and not only helps you reach a vibrational level that gets everyone's attention when you walk in the room, because we are pure energy and we do vibrate what we're thinking about ourselves.
You bet.
And you walk in with a vibration about yourself that, oh my God, my nose is too big, for instance, like we were saying,
mm-hmm.
and you're going to get reading, but I just don't really feel it with that person.
It's a negative vibration.
Yes, and we're walking in and telling them not to hire us before
right.
we ever open our mouth.
Yeah, that's exactly right, and that's it's such a common error that it's, like I say, I spend almost 100 pages in the first part of You Must Act just
yes.
working on that one area,
yes.
what I call the mindset.
Yes, wonderful, wonderful foundation for your program. For the course, and I highly recommend that everybody check this out. Go to www.youmustact.com. That's www.youmustact.com, and pull up the website. And there are ways to get to all of these other programs from that website, correct, Bob?
Yes, there are. There are links. All around, back and
right.
forth.
Right. No, you've got an awesome website. I really love your website. And I love this program, You Must Act. Having been in the business almost 3 decades myself, starting as an actor and then a manager and then an agent and back to a manager again, I can tell you that had I had this information back when I was an actress, just fumbling my way through, not being afraid to make mistakes and look like a fool, which is one of the ways that I learned to work the system, I would have, oh, my gosh. I the agent that I had before I got injured on a commercial shoot, which changed my destiny quite a bit, said that I was one role away from stardom. And I believe it, because everywhere I went, I booked. I had 6 auditions a day for pilot season almost every day. I was so worn out from auditioning, from actually getting the auditions for myself, that I was almost too tired to audition once I got them. Mm-hmm. So with your information, I would have not worked myself so crazy in trying to get the auditions. I would have just concentrated more on my craft and more on believing in myself, rather than my agent's not going to believe in me, so I have to do it all myself.
Right.
And that's really what I was doing, which made me an excellent manager today and a great, you know, very good agent, if I can say so myself.
And now that you see it from the other side, you realize, you know, how simple the acting business really is in terms of what you bring to it is your product. I mean,
totally.
Who you are. You know, I always try to frame it like this. I say, look, your acting services are your product.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to advertise your product, you have to market your product, you have to deliver your product. And
right.
If you don't do those 3 things, then you're not going to go forward in business.
Right.
And this is a business.
It is a business. And one thing I was sharing with another client of mine yesterday is, It's as simple and complex as this. And if you don't mind if I speak in esoteric terms, it is spiritual Hollywood, after all, I'm going to say it quite simply. You can look at it as creator, source, God, your higher power, whatever you want to call it. But when you get in touch with that and remember who you are and where you come from and allow that to move through you, you won't be self-conscious at all.
No, I call it the universal mind.
Yes.
I mentioned to you that when I went out and did some of my Showbiz U events,
mm-hmm.
One of the things that was brought up to me by an actor was that, you know, they asked me about when I had started noticing and using the law of attraction.
Mm-hmm.
And I was ignorant. I didn't know what they were talking about.
Right.
it turns out that I had been using the law of attraction all my life.
Of course.
And had no idea that there was a body of study that talked about that. But one of the sections of You Must Act is, you know, called How to Operate Your Brain.
Mm-hmm.
And what it talks about is you know, consciously taking charge of your subconscious, and
mm-hmm.
your subconscious is part of what I call the universal mind, because it's, you know, it's virtually the same in every living thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the cells know where to go to do their specific little jobs.
Yeah, and the kidneys know how to kid.
Yes, and the trees know how to tree. And
yes,
so on.
Right.
And by taking charge of that, by, you know, putting a monitor at the door for all those people who are going to tell you it can't be done,
mm-hmm.
and also putting a monitor on your mouth so that you don't tell yourself that,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Suddenly you start to, you know, take charge of that subconscious universal mind.
Yes.
And it pays.
Yes.
It turns around and gives you exactly what you want.
Yes.
And people are amazed that it works, but they call it the law of attraction because it's a law.
Right.
It's physics.
It's like gravity. It works every time. No exception.
Whether you like it or not.
Whether you like it or not. So
that's
what
right.
You think about, you bring about, you might want to consider what you're thinking about.
That's exactly what I talk about in You Must Act.
Yes.
And,
yes. So,
you know.
And also putting a monitor on your mouth. I really like that term.
Yeah. It's important. Because,
yes. And because, you know, of what you're telling yourself. And also start stalking your thoughts, because what's been given to you by your parents, and it's no offense to anybody's parents, because we have the most conscious and enlightened parents on the planet, we would still have stuff to work through and have to watch our thoughts, because it's largely an insane world, and if you don't believe that, look at a history book.
Yeah, that's right, or just watch the news.
Yeah, do that, of which I try not to do.
me too.
Yeah, exactly.
But I do watch Cops.
What's that?
Cops.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Kind of hooked on that one?
Well, I'm always amused at the criminal mind and how wrong-headed it is.
Well, I don't know, being you like cops, you might have seen this show. I laughed so hard I cried and my jaws hurt for days when I saw this show. It was called, The World's Stupidest Criminals.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it was too funny.
One of my favorites.
Oh, my gosh.
One of my favorite quotes from Cops, which relates, by the way, so this is not too far off the subject. One of my favorite quotes is, they get a guy and they get into his pockets and they pull out all these drugs and he says to them, and with a perfectly straight face,
mm-hmm.
"These aren't my pants." And I always tell actors, I say, when you're in an audition and you've just done your audition and you say to the casting director or the producer or the director, whoever's there,
yeah,
and you say to them, "I'd like to give it another try,"
mm-hmm.
you might as well be saying, "Those weren't my pants."
Oh, that's funny. Oh, my gosh. Well, this client I was speaking to yesterday said that she went to a casting director workshop, and a casting director who was there that evening is somebody who's had one of my clients in for producers probably 19 times, and it's the show Ugly Betty. And I said, "Tell him I said hi." So she did, and because it was a workshop situation, he gave her a scene that was completely against type for her.
Mm-hmm.
And so she was like, that's interesting that I was given this material. That's kind of strange. So she did it, you know, the way she thought she should do it. And then he said, "You know, you brought something really, really wonderful to that role. But if you had come into my office for an audition, I wouldn't have told you, given you adjustments and told you to do it again the way that I would like you to do it. I simply would have said, 'Thank you for coming in,' and let you go." And he said, "What you want to start doing is getting really, really present to how you can make a scene special, no matter if you think you're right for it or not, and just trust that it's in your hands for a reason."
That's right.
And he did say to her, "I would give you the boringest scene that I have, and know that if you did it, it would never be boring."
Yeah.
I told her to put that on her resume.
You bet. Well, in Nail It, And by the way, the reason I call it the hypnotic audition is not because there's any hypnosis involved.
That's what I wanted you to say.
What it really means is that your job when you walk into an audition is to hypnotize the buyer.
Mm-hmm.
Your job is to go, it's a sales pitch. And,
right.
And if you think about how sales are actually accomplished, the example I always use is a car salesman.
Mm-hmm.
And people... You know, people frequently don't attach how a car sale actually works to what they're doing. And I point out, look, one of the reasons that they keep you there for 2 hours
mm-hmm.
at a minimum
mm-hmm.
is because they're hypnotizing you. They're putting you in a state
mm-hmm.
where buying the car is the only decision you can make.
Right.
And in essence, it's a sales pitch.
Right.
And the same thing is true in an audition. In essence, when you walk through that door, it's your job from the moment from the moment they see you until you leave, it's your job to put the buyer in a state. And actors will often say to me, "Well, Bob, you know, that's like, I have to concentrate on my craft and I have to think about my performance, and I can't really be involved in, you know." And I go, "Look, we're not too far off the subject here. The idea behind acting altogether
mm-hmm.
is to put the audience in a state where they believe that you are the person in this story."
Yes.
And if they don't get in that state, it's called bad acting.
Yes.
And so what I try to point out to actors and in the course, we go through a lot of different exercises. But what I basically try to point out is it's your job to sell. If you don't sell, you're not in business.
Mm-hmm.
Business doesn't exist without sales.
Mm-hmm.
And so actors who, focus only on their acting
mm-hmm.
frequently spend a lot of time in suffering.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're not closing the deal.
Right.
And really that's what Nail It is all about. It's really about going in and closing the deal.
What I would like to see if you could give me an example, if you wouldn't mind, Bob, what you find your most enjoyable hypnotic audition that you've ever witnessed in the hundreds of actors you've helped cast in the
show. Well, I can tell you that in an instant.
Great.
This would be, I'm gonna guess it was about 1979.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe 80, but I think it was 79. And a friend of mine who was producing a show and I were getting together for lunch.
Mm-hmm.
And since I was producing a show and he was producing a show, he asked, you know, he told me, come on over. I arrived at his office and he was in a casting session. And he said, oh, come on in, sit down, you know, and we'll, you know, watch these next two. We have two more guys to look at.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so I sat down and shut my mouth and observed.
Mm-hmm.
And the first guy came in, and it was for the role of, I think it was a hotel clerk, if I'm not mistaken. It was a minor, you know, it was an under five
mm-hmm.
role.
Mm-hmm.
The first guy came in, did a very nice job. My friend said, thank you very much. The guy left.
Mm-hmm.
The next guy that came in burst into the room and was doing comedy shtick that had all of us breathless with laughter.
Oh.
He must have done 5 minutes of, you know, and making fun of the show and making fun of the writing and making fun of the guy running the show.
Uh-huh.
And literally, it was he and I, another producer and two casting people, and the five of us were, I mean, seriously breathless with laughter with this guy.
Right.
And we finally got to the point where he read the role. He read the role outrageously. We were again laughing hysterically.
Mm-hmm.
And he left.
Mm-hmm.
And the five of us said, that is the most amazing guy we've ever seen.
Mm.
We all agreed he was amazing and hysterical and wonderful
mm-hmm.
and you know, a star.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, the first guy that came in got the part because what the producer was looking for was somebody to do a scene with the star, and the star had the jokes,
mm-hmm.
and you don't hire somebody that's funnier than the star.
Never.
To do the straight man.
Right.
So the hilarious and wonderful guy
mm-hmm.
did not get that job.
Mm-hmm.
However, all of us, all five of us, talked about that guy. The producer and I went to lunch, and we talked about him all during lunch and said,
mm-hmm.
yeah, he's going to make it. He's got everything.
Mm-hmm.
And the casting people obviously went and talked to other casting people.
Mm-hmm.
And within a month or 2 months, everybody in town knew who this guy was.
Mm.
And Gary Marshall brought him in for a crazy role called Mork from Ork.
Oh!
It was Robin Williams.
Of course it was.
And he had, but when we saw him that time, he had only been in town for about 5 weeks.
Mm.
And within 3 months of arriving in Los Angeles, he was Mork from Ork on Happy Days. And within 2 weeks of that, ABC made a series for him.
Yeah, Mork and Mindy.
Yep.
Yeah, wonderful story. Absolutely
yeah.
wonderful story. So what that would encourage in me, if I were an actor listening to that, is to just be who I am and own it, like, no kidding.
That's the whole moral of the stories of people who actually get someplace.
Yes, and
they
it's not,
go in and they are themselves.
Yes, and if I could just specify one thing, because this might be a little confusing to people who are, you know, need to pay their bills and just want to tone themselves down to get that under five role because you can't upstage the star. Would you say, Bob, that it's more important to just be who you are and deliver the lines as yourself instead of trying to
yes.
work yourself into what you think they want?
There's no question of that.
Wonderful.
There's just no question of that because, look, when you walk into an audition, you don't know what they want.
Exactly.
You have no idea what they're looking for. And nine times out of ten, and I can tell you this from my own personal experience, the producer and the director also don't know what they're looking for.
Yep.
And really, show business is, and you know, everybody talks about this, but very few people actually take it in and make it part of who they are. This is a business of relationships. And relationships are made by connection.
Mm-hmm.
And we connect with people because they are authentic people.
Right.
And being authentic is the whole secret behind being a successful actor. And it really is the secret behind being a successful director or a successful writer as well.
Oh, yes.
Because authentic communication is why people pay money to go to the movies or sit in their chair and watch television or go to the theater.
Mm-hmm.
They are looking for authentic people.
Yes.
And actors need to remember they are people first and their jobs are second.
Mm-hmm.
And once you get that, once you understand that and you make that part of your whole,
mm-hmm.
then everything opens up. One of the guys I like to point to often is Christopher Walken.
Mm-hmm.
Christopher Walken has never read a line straight in his entire life.
I would agree with that.
You cannot this guy comes up with line readings that are from Mars.
Uh-huh.
And yet, that's what works.
Yes.
For Christopher Walken.
Yes.
Because that's who he is.
Yes, and he blew my mind on one show, Saturday Night Live, where he was a Broadway dancer.
Mm-hmm.
I had no idea he could dance.
He was a child star.
Wow.
He was working on Broadway when he was like 9, I believe, or 10.
What an amazing talent.
Yeah.
And very sure of himself, and very confident. And I've never seen a performance where, or I've never even thought of him where I thought he might be self-conscious or insecure at all.
Mm-mm. And again, what people have to understand about that is that it's an act.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I call my first course, You Must Act.
Mm-hmm.
It means you must take action. You must act.
Mm-hmm.
And we all act. I mean, every human being on the planet has an act.
Mm-hmm.
It's just making it a profession that stops most people in their tracks.
Mm-hmm.
And it really hasn't got anything to do with anything more than understanding the objective, which is to present a character in a story.
Mm-hmm.
And anybody can be a character in a story.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And I believe, too, that, for me, the two most attractive things about a person for me is authenticity, honesty, and confidence. Well, actually, that's three. But honesty and authenticity create confidence.
Yes. Yeah, there's no question that it's a practiced study.
Yes, you've got to generate it from moment to moment.
Exactly. And nobody comes to this, this life with all of these gifts intact.
Mm-mm.
And that's why I urge actors to first get a life. Very important.
Uh-huh.
You must have life before you have work.
Before you have material to pull from.
Yeah, and not only that, but the concept that many people, and not just actors, but people in general,
mm-hmm.
they operate under the idea that someday they're going to reach a point where they will be able to, and name the subject, take a trip,
mm-hmm.
relax, whatever it is their goal is at mm-hmm. some point. And the truth is that, it's going on right now, and you have to do that right now.
Because all you have is right now.
That's right.
This moment.
That's exactly right. There's an old joke about that. A guy says to his friend, "Let's go fishing."
Mm-hmm.
And the guy says, no, I got to go. I got to go out and work today.
Mm-hmm.
And, he says, "Well, you hate that job." And he says, "Yeah, but, it's got good benefits, and 30 years from now I'm going to retire with a nice pension, and I'll be able to go fishing."
Oh, boy.
You can go fishing now.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Absolutely. You know?
And really that relates to, you know, everything that actors find frustrating.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the idea that someday, you know, and that's really, that stops you.
Yeah.
That someday idea is a, you know.
Well, that someday idea is bringing your past into your future, because your past is what's making you think you can't have it right now.
Mm-hmm.
So it's cramming your past into your future, which clogs it all up, and it destroys your now.
Yeah, there's a great old aphorism about that, which is the past is a canceled check, the future is an IOU, now is cash.
Yes, very well said. And when you speak in terms of somebody's wallet, you tend to get their attention.
Well, that's what I try to do.
Yes.
I'm, as you know from our conversation the other day at the Aroma Cafe,
mm-hmm.
You know, I believe that focusing on the reward,
mm-hmm.
is a very good tactic to convince you to take all the other steps that need to be taken to get there.
Yeah, and what feels like risk, and what gives you fear, and what, I believe if you're feeling fear, then you're doing something good.
Yes. Oh, yeah, and if you really closely listen to all the actors that go on Actors Studio, that Actors Studio program.
Yes, I love that show.
If you really listen to them, almost every one of them will talk about doing something that makes them afraid.
Yes.
Because that's the challenge.
Yes.
That's what makes it worth it.
Yes,
because
I have
some
to.
At some point, you
yes.
know, if you're hugely successful in bringing in the big bucks, it can get boring.
Yes.
You know, you've got to get out of your comfort zone as much as you possibly can.
Yes.
I tell actors, I say, whatever it is, you need to pick something up and start a hobby, start doing things like one of the things I did when I was young.
Mm-hmm. Younger.
I'm like most people in this business, I'm shy.
Okay.
And one of the things that I did very early on was do everything I could to get away from being shy. And the tactic I used was talking to people at the supermarket.
Mm.
And just, you know, engaging in conversation with people in the checkout line and talking to the cashier and talking, you know, because what that does is that it gets you out of your comfort zone, which is to be quiet and observe, which all actors do.
And invisible.
And invisible,
mm-hmm.
exactly. And those conversations that you have with other people are so informing, because you find out things about people. You find out things that you can put in your little kit bag and use later
mm-hmm.
in a character.
Right.
And it gets you away from the norm,
mm-hmm.
from your everyday.
And it takes you outside yourself.
That's important. You must be outside yourself, because otherwise you won't have an awareness of the audience.
Or
the audience.
Or your scene partner.
Yeah. Well, for me, the whole part of acting where the scene study and the constant repetition and those kinds of things are really meant at the base of it to create a confidence that you may not have.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's better to create the confidence first and then worry about the technical aspects of acting.
I agree with you 100%. Absolutely. I love the idea and the notion of talking to people in the grocery store or the elevator. And if you notice, most people get in an elevator and look at their feet.
Yep.
And I just look them in the eye and say hello and
yeah.
chit-chat.
It's so important, because what really, the skill you're building when you do that
mm-hmm.
is the skill of walking into a room with a bunch of strangers and treating them like people.
Yes.
And this is what happens with actors who haven't done this. And by the way, my theory is that the reason it usually takes about a decade for anybody to get any place in this business
mm-hmm.
is because of the lack of these particular skills.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that they're not talented or they're not, you know, they're not as good looking as Brad Pitt or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's because they don't have these social sales skills.
Yes.
They don't sell themselves.
Mm-hmm.
They don't present themselves properly.
Mm-hmm.
And it all comes down to the mindset, where you're coming from, how you feel about yourself.
Yes.
Is what you're presenting to people, and most of us do it unconsciously,
mm-hmm.
which is incredibly wrong-headed when you talk in terms of the acting profession,
mm-hmm.
because the entire idea of acting is presenting yourself properly.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you work on, okay, I can present this character in a certain way,
mm-hmm.
that's great. But if you haven't worked on this is how I can present me
mm-hmm.
in a certain way,
mm-hmm.
then getting to the point where you can present a character is going to be tough.
It will be tough. People call in people who are comfortable in their own skin.
You bet.
People call in people who they enjoy sitting and chatting with before they begin a reading. They call in people who have a calming effect on the people in the room because they want to impress their bosses, their producers,
mm-hmm.
the director. They want to impress them. They want to make points. And, you know, casting directors have to audition for their job, too. And based on the great people they know in their stable,
you bet.
Will be the reason they're hired for a job or not.
And you know, when it comes right down to it, and this is another thing where actors are off the mark. They
mm-hmm.
don't realize that the casting director, is pretty far down on the totem pole in terms of power in Hollywood or,
mm-hmm.
or New York. And if they screw up, they get fired.
Right.
If they bring in people that aren't prepared or have problems, they're gone.
Right.
And I talk about this in You Must Act. There are stars in every bit part of our business. There are star caterers and star cinematographers and star casting directors. It's a business of stars.
Yes.
And what the casting director, their job is not to find the best actor. Their job is to find the right actor.
Right.
And those two things can be totally separate.
Mm-hmm.
Because the producer has a whole list of things that he's interested in or she's interested in that have nothing at all to do with acting talent. They have everything to do with a phrase that is gold in this business, a joy to work with.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's the goal.
Yes.
The goal of every actor is to be a joy to work with, to be somebody that amuses and entertains
mm-hmm.
and has a charm.
Yes.
And is willing to help. And I have a whole list of those things I actually wrote an article about this for Now Casting. I do a regular column for them every other week on Wednesday for their newsletter.
Good to know.
And there's a column, it's probably last year, but there's a column called Are You a Good Actor?
Mm-hmm.
And that really lists all of the things that the producer, who, by the way, is the person who hires you,
mm-hmm.
what the producer's interested in, is a list of things that have very little to do with the actual skill
mm-hmm.
of acting.
Yeah, and once you know exactly what to do and in what order to do it and why you're doing it,
yes,
and you start doing it, you can open up the floodgates of success.
Oh, it happens. That's actually a phrase from my promotion, I'm sure.
I know, I'm
That's
reading
exactly
it.
Right. That's exactly right. If you do it, if you know what to do, and
uh-huh.
you do it, and you do it in the right order, in front of the right people, it happens so quickly, it'll make your head spin.
Yeah, it does. And I worked a lot when I was acting. I had to. I didn't have the luxury of being afraid.
No, I understand.
Being a single mom. But nobody taught me how to aim, because if they did, I would have hit the mark.
Yeah.
And, you know, what your courses do is they completely teach a person like an Olympic marksman how to hit their mark.
Well, people have called this a lot of things. They've called it the Bible. They've called it the map. They've called it the blueprint. But I think you're closest
yeah.
with the description of
Olympic marksman.
Here's how to hit the target.
Yeah. That's it.
Here's how you do it.
Yep. And I lived on a farm in Kentucky, and I shot a gun all the time, but I didn't hit anything until I went to the Charlton Heston celebrity shoot a few years back, and an Olympic trainer was watching me shoot, and because I was in a competition with actually the guy from Chips.
Eric Estrada.
Yes, him. Eric was my opponent.
Uh-huh.
And I was firing and missing everything and just getting so frustrated, and I was like, come on, I've got great hand-eye coordination, what's going on? So the Olympic trainer came over to me and he said, here, look down the barrel, hold it like this, now look over there, aim at your mark, squeeze the trigger.
Yep.
I did that, and
cool.
I won the trophy.
Yeah.
However, I got so excited after I hit all the marks that I swung the gun around, and I was swinging it around to say, did you see what I did to the Olympic trainer? And he was on the ground, hiding from my gun barrel. And I was like, oh, that's one thing you didn't tell me not to do. And he said, yes, I'm sorry, my bad, but yeah, you never aim the gun at the Olympic trainer.
Yeah.
So, but when he taught me to aim, I hit the mark, and that's true in everywhere in life because life is holographic.
You
learn how to aim beautifully in one area, know that. If someone teaches you how to aim in another area, like hire a coach, get a program like yours, You Must Act, or whatever it is, your headshots, hypnotic audition, all of it. Anything out there that's available that can train you how to hit your mark,
mm-hmm.
do it. And whatever you're drawn to, go to that and try that. You've got nothing to lose but your fear of success and your suffering.
Yeah, it's interesting because people have also compared me to Anthony Robbins, somebody I wasn't aware of until his name was brought up one time and referenced to me, and I looked him up and then started reading his material.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that Anthony Robbins talks about is when he goes to train people, and the reason I remember this is because he actually trained some Olympic marksmen.
Mm.
And he didn't know diddly-dink about shooting a gun.
Mm-hmm.
But he did understand how to frame the task in such a way that people who knew how to do it were suddenly transformed and had a much better result.
Mm-hmm.
And he's accomplished this with basketball players and baseball players and actors and writers, and
mm-hmm.
because what he talks about, and I think the comparison to me is somewhat valid because I try to do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
What he talks about is first understand what it is you want,
mm-hmm.
you know, and focus on that, because that's where you're going to find the target.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to find the target looking around, moving your head back and forth, looking in every direction, listening to every piece of advice that comes down the pike.
Mm-hmm.
It just doesn't work that way.
No, and it confuses you.
It's confusing. And again, this is one of the things that happens to actors that come to Los Angeles, and they start, you know, making the rounds and meeting all the other actors in Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
They're in front of a lot of people who have the wrong idea,
mm-hmm.
or have the wrong concept because of their own experience. And so a lot of bad information is passed along. One of the things I talk about in You Must Act is, you know, consider the source.
Mm-hmm.
Who's giving you the information? If you're listening to somebody who's standing online at an open call with you,
mm-hmm.
what makes you think they know something you don't know?
Exactly.
They're in the same boat with you, you know,
mm-hmm.
and
competing with you.
Huh?
And competing with you.
Yeah, unfortunately, they do compete, and of course, that's exactly the wrong way to do things.
Yes.
You can't compete. It's not a competition.
Mm-hmm.
It's about yourself. It's about
yes.
you. It's about bringing you into the room, and if you're trying to compete with somebody else, then you've got your eye on the wrong target.
Exactly, exactly, exactly. Because when you bring your authentic, true nature into that room and vibrate that, you're unforgettable.
And you're not competing.
And you're not competing. And that
actors,
whole competition thing goes away.
Actors who compete are actors who struggle.
Exactly.
And it's, you know, look, you and I, we're you know, we've been around,
mm-hmm.
and we've seen a lot. And, you know, you've seen a lot from both the performing side and the management and agenting side.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen a lot from the performing side and from the producing side.
Mm-hmm.
And some directing. I don't like to direct because it's too hard on my feet.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, I'm a competent director.
Mm-hmm.
And the observations that we have are in sync because we're looking at an objective reality.
Mm-hmm.
And that objective reality is these are the people who succeed and these are the people who don't succeed.
Mm-hmm.
And the people who succeed all have similar qualities in terms of the way they approach their business.
Yes. Absolutely. And the people who succeed have similar qualities. The people who don't succeed have similar qualities. So start investigating who's not succeeding and what qualities they have that you are also emulating.
That's right.
Complaining, and then get
suffering,
yep.
Frustration.
Complaining, negative thinking. Issues with money because
yep.
People have horrible relationships with money. I'm also a life coach, which gives me another perspective on how people are feeling before they go in that room to audition.
Yeah.
And what I do is I reintroduce them to their divinity
mm-hmm.
and get them back to their true nature. And once they're channeling their source again, then they start working again.
Yep.
But I have it that a person's relationship to money is identical to their relationship with themselves. So if you think money's going to abandon you, it can't support you, it's going to let you down, there's never enough, then you're also feeling that way about yourself.
That's exactly right.
There's and all
no
the people in your life.
It. Yeah, there's no question about it.
It's holographic.
And what I call that is being in the zone.
Mm-hmm.
When you're in the zone, it's not about the money.
Right.
It's never about the money. It's never about the result.
Being of service.
It's just doing what you feel like doing.
Yes.
And if you're in touch with that, if you're in touch with what your subconscious mind is constantly working on,
mm-hmm.
If you're in touch with those things, then what happens is it just comes to you.
Mm-hmm.
It's you know, and athletes will talk about this constantly about just suddenly they're in the zone,
mm-hmm.
and they're not trying, and they're not pushing, and they're not grabbing, and they're not grasping, and they're not, you know, what they're doing is they're just letting it be.
Exactly, and they're just channeling who they are through everything
right.
that they do, and it's a fantastic thing, and the money just comes. It's
you
like
bet.
A magnet. So we're up on the end of the Spiritual Hollywood Hour, and I just want to thank you, Bob, for taking the time to come on the show, and I hope I've honored you properly because you certainly deserve it.
Well, Kate, thank you so much. I really appreciate you having me on, and I appreciate your client who suggested that was a thing to do.
Oh, not just one client, everybody who knows you. So.
Oh, well, that's wonderful.
Yes.
I'm happy to hear that.
Yes, absolutely, and you've earned that, too, with your contribution in the business for over almost 50 years. Now, I just want to give everyone your website one more time before we run out of time. It's www.youmustact.com. Check out these wonderful programs. Do yourself a favor. Learn how to aim and hit your mark. Take a deep breath, everybody. Stand up really straight and love yourselves. And remember, the last six letters of attraction are action. So take action and learn how to hit your mark. And You Must Act is a great place to start. And thank you again, Bob. Have a lovely, lovely holiday season. And to everybody else, and we'll see you next week. Bye-bye, everybody.